to engage him in conversation. He had been known to smile, but not to laugh. If he held political opinions, if he held opinions of any kind, they remained a mystery around the offices of Feathercombs Incorporated. It was felt he could be fired without damage to morale. Shortly after 9 o'clock on the morning of the 24th, the president of Feathercombs heard a disturbance outside his office, where a quick-witted girl had been positioned to filter out creditors and tax inspectors. A male voice spoke with urgency that scaled rapidly to anger. The intercom on the president's desk buzzed and buzzed again. He heard a chime of glass breaking. It sounded like a telephone when you slam down the receiver. Before the president could rise from his chair to see what the matter was, my grandfather muscled into the room. He brandished a black handset, in those days a blunt instrument, that trailed 3 feet of frayed cord. Back in the late 1930s, when he wasn't hustling pool, my grandfather had put himself through 4 years at Drexel Tech by delivering pianos for Wanamaker's department store. His shoulders spanned the doorway. His kinky hair, escaped from its daily paste-down of Brill cream, wobbled atop his head. His face was so flushed with blood that he looked sunburned. "I never saw anyone so angry,"